It's true from beginning to end. It's the solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
Welcome to the 1611 Defense Podcast. This is Kyle Kiker with co-host Mitch Knupp, coming to you with episode number 8 total, episode number 3 for the Pure Line of Manuscripts. Brother Mitch, how you doing today?
Well, I'm doing well.
Yeah.
No complaints at all.
Making it all right after the last 40 minutes. We've been recording the previous podcast. We try to do a couple here at the studio. All recording studio in Charlotte, North Carolina. We'll go ahead. He's not paying us for this.
Yeah.
So this is out of, you know, but if anybody needs a recording studio, Jason's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's a nice fella. Got a nice little place out here off Mallard Creek Church Road. But anyway, we're coming back with episode number 3, and we got through, we talked about John Wycliffe.
Yes.
Desiderius Erasmus, and I believe we're ready to talk about Martin Luther.
Yeah.
So, Brother Mitch, kick us off. Tell us a little bit about Martin Luther, his background, because we're going to start slowing down. We've went through the past 1,000 years or so really quick. It's too depressing to talk about the Catholic Church too much. So, anyway, that's not why. But anyway, tell us a little bit about Martin Luther and before his translation, how it came to it. Tell him about worms, if you will, and all that stuff.
Well, last broadcast we were segueing into Martin Luther through John Wycliffe. First, of course, there was a couple hundred years between the two, but Wycliffe was so hated that his bones, after he died, his bones were dug up and burned and thrown in the River Swift. And Luther was the type of person, he was very, looked at as some as rude and crude. And of course, he came out of Catholicism where he had been a monk, but he had had I know it sounds strange, but he had a case of dysentery. And he was relieving himself, of course, but he had been reading The Just Shall Live by Faith.
Yeah.
And God used that to really speak to his heart.
Yep.
And Luther had some problems that he brought out through Catholicism. He was very anti-Semitic, very anti-Jewish.
Yeah.
And he didn't like Baptists either. And neither did John Calvin. They don't tell you that. Calvin hated Jews and Baptists and persecuted them. You know, that's the Calvinist hero, John Calvin, which his doctrines came from Aurelius Augustine. So that don't matter one way or the other. But in my
opinion, Calvinist is another one, like we said last one.
Yeah,
if they get in control, better watch out.
Yes, exactly. And
and so these people that call themselves Baptist and they're Calvinist.
Yes.
I heard one this past week make a reference to, in a negative, talking about standing for the King James Bible. He said something about if you stand, people talking about standing for the King James Bible, they ought to read it. And I agree, they ought to read it, but you need to do both.
Yes. If you're a Baptist and call yourself a Calvinist, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah.
Calvin despised Baptists, and he thought they were heretics. So did Luther. And so we'll get to Calvin later probably, but Calvin in Geneva, Switzerland set up a theocracy there because he didn't understand dispensationalism.
Yeah. Neither do we. Oh man, we just lost all the Steven Anderson followers.
Well, I guess we'll have to lose them because I'm a dispensationalist.
We had one comment on YouTube. Anyway,
I'm not a hyper dispensationalist.
No, no. If
but
you
I
think
strong,
we're hyper, we can show you what hyper is.
Yeah,
we're
absolutely
not hyper.
Yeah. Hyper dispensationalists don't believe in water baptism or the Lord's Supper for the church age. We do.
Romans 10:9 is another one
right.
That I heard one of them say that's not, anyway.
Yeah.
We're not hypers. I consider myself a strict dispensationalist, not a revised dispensationalist.
Right.
I believe in dispensational salvation.
Yes.
Okay. That now we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast in the church age.
Yes.
Not in the Old Testament.
Not in the tribulation.
And not in the tribulation.
Yeah.
Now. Okay.
Right.
That revised dispensationalism doesn't, with some of the books that came out, And one of them that is kind of, you know, wrote some books is a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I don't, you know, he's a good man doing way for the, more for the Lord than I feel believe I am. You know, I mean, I look up to that guy.
Yeah.
But I don't believe what he believes when it comes to dispensational salvation. I don't have to. I've got a book to show.
Yeah,
me,
exactly, okay? Right.
I don't go around following popes. Anyway.
I mean, the word dispensation is found in the Bible four
times.
And
he's not a pope, but anyway. Yeah. Some of you know who I'm talking about. I gotta straighten that out here. But anyway.
So you shouldn't call names. Well, Paul did. He said, Alexander the coppersmith hath done me much evil. See, I know what he did. Alexander put pennies in the offering plate. Little joke there, but anyway,
it went over my head. I probably
he was a coppersmith.
Oh, sorry, I'm on one track minded here. I've got revised dispensationalism.
Yeah.
Oh, so this doesn't have anything much to do with the King James Bible, but let me go ahead and say this, okay, just for the record. I believe what I believe because of people who've taught me the book because of the book, but yeah. I'm not relegated to getting doctrine from one person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's things every place that I've ever gone to church, I've disagreed with the pastor by some.
Yeah.
Okay.
No two men agree on everything.
Once I was old enough to understand what stuff is, start studying. Okay. Now, you know, there's things like Peter Ruckman, for example. We're just going to get down to the nitty gritty. Mm. Okay. I believe a lot of what Brother Ruckman taught. The thing about abortion, yeah. I don't, you know, I believe that, you know, I believe what he said about the breath of life, but babies breathe breath from their mama through the umbilical cord. But when it comes to King James Bible, dispensationalism, okay. James Knox and Doug Stauffer, okay, I'm with them on tons of things, okay, but dispensational salvation, I disagree with them.
Yeah.
I'm entitled to do that. I got a book, okay? This isn't Catholicism, all right?
That's what soul liberty is. Bible-believing Baptists believe in soul liberty. I don't have to walk in another man's shoes and believe everything he believes in order to get my doctrine. I get my doctrine from the Word of God.
Yeah.
And dispensation is taught in the Bible. And
mentioned four times.
Four times. And if you don't rightly divide the word according to dispensation, you're going to have to try to appeal to some Greek extant Greek manuscript or Hebrew manuscript to correct the Bible. And that's what I'm against. So, but John Calvin was strictly against any kind
Let's
of dispensation.
Get back on subject
and of course Luther brought out much error when he came out of Catholicism. But people got to realize when you come out of an age in which the world has been dark, which books had been burned, people had been banned from travel. They didn't travel no more than 10 miles from their home because they didn't have any maps. They didn't know how to get back. All of that was squelched. All of that was burnt. All of that was discarded by Rome. And so, as you start coming out, it's like coming out of a dark forest, and you start getting light. You don't see too well.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing could be said for Luther, same thing could be said for Calvin and Melanchthon and Zwingli and all of the so-called Protestants. But again, Brother Kyle, all through that period called the Dark Ages, that satanic millennium from 1500 to 1500, just rounding it off, is actually about 483 to 1483. There were still Bible believers that going through that, preserving the scriptures, the old the Waldensians there in the Cochin Alps, as we mentioned, the Albigenses, the Bogomiles, the Henricans, the Pauliceans, all of these groups.
Pauliceans from Paul.
Yeah.
People say we're really getting off topic, but okay, if you're not dispensational and you want to learn about King James Bible, just endure into the end, right?
Yeah,
quick,
absolutely.
With us, okay.
Which is tribulation, but we'll seek another dispensation.
Endure
right
to the
now.
End right now, all right? people say dispensational didn't come along till Darby. Okay.
Oh,
I've got an extended family member that told me that. Free will Baptist and, you know, anti-dispensational, pre-tribulation rapture, blah, blah, blah. Okay. it really came on the scene with Darby. The Bible said, the Bible talks about how knowledge shall increase. Mishra to and from knowledge shall be increased. That's not just talking about the invention of the plow and Carnegie and Rockefeller with oil and all.
And flying cars.
Yeah, that's not just that. It's Bible knowledge too.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
So you got Darby and you got Clarence Larkin coming along, a classic dispensationalist.
Yes, absolutely.
He didn't really have Matthew and Acts as transitional books too much from what I've read from it.
Right.
And then you have Scofield come along, got some good stuff, some stuff I don't agree with. He was a Bible corrector. Some of those marginal notes.
George Hawkins Pember.
Yeah.
I mean, A.C. Gabeline.
Yeah.
All of these men God used to start bringing the light. Because the Lord, He's preparing men to get ready for the premillennial coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't need to teach that in 1200, 1300, 1400, because God knew He wasn't coming back then. People give God some credit for knowing what He's doing. And so He brought these men to light to start giving us the Bible rightly divided to get men looking heavenward instead of earthward, because everybody was believing and that the kingdom had already come.
Yeah.
And that we were in the millennial.
That's what Calvin.
Exactly right.
Setting up the millennial.
That's what he was doing
in
Geneva.
Yeah.
And go down to the zoo and get in that lion's cage and see if the millennial reigns come.
Yeah.
They won't get enough of you to make a hamburger patty out of.
Yeah. So then after that, you get Ruttman coming along with dispensationalism.
Right.
Okay? And we're talking about him. Everybody climbs the wall, you know, for various reasons, okay? But the thing about it is revelation is increasing. Bible knowledge is increasing
Absolutely.
For people who want it.
Yes.
But see, here's the thing about the Lord. Now, we're so off topic, but I think we might be on the top. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to get something from God, you got to work for it. Now,
yeah.
I'm not talking about salvation.
No.
Okay? Salvation is by grace through faith. But there's a sense of faith without works is dead from a practical standpoint. James talks about that.
Yeah,
okay?
James 2.
From a practical standpoint, I'm going to use somebody I got a book right here. Final Authority by Bill Grady. Okay, his other book they wrote was real good.
Mm-hmm.
If you hear Bill Grady preach, he's going to go over an hour most likely every time. Okay, some people don't like to sit through that long. Now he holds your attention, but you'll get some. And that's just an example in my world.
Yeah, yes.
If you're going to study the Bible, you're going to have to give up your TV watching.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're going to learn the Word of God and increase in knowledge, whatever, and grow in the Lord and prayer and all that stuff, which I need to get a lot better at. You got to give up some stuff. So how did I get on that? I'm not sure. But anyway, let's go back with Calvin and not Calvin. Let's go back with Luther. And we made an aside there. Hopefully the Lord will get glory from it somewhere. Let me say this to end it. Okay.
We live in a generation where everything is microwavable.
Yeah.
People want to pop something into the microwave, push a button, and in 30 seconds they've got a meal. They don't want to sit down anymore and sit down and cook a meal for the family. And nothing wrong with microwave. I've got one. But what I'm saying is they want things done fast, quick. We're all so busy.
Drive-thrus.
Right, drive-thru, so quick. But by the same token, that's the way they want their Bible. They want their Bible to be spoon-fed to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to sit down and dig and burn the midnight oil and study the scriptures, not just read them, but study them. And I heard a quote by a heretic out in Newport, North Carolina. I got a book by him, Robert Joyner, who said the problem with Bible, King James Bible only believers is it takes no study. And I thought, how in the world could you say something like that or write something like that? Of course, that was back in the year 2000 he wrote that book. Mm-hmm. But requires no study. I'll guarantee you on this issue, I've studied it for 43 years. And so so that doesn't make any sense. But very little that Bible correctors or Bible corruptors say makes any sense anyway. But I just want to throw that in as an addenda to what Brother Kyle has been talking about. But as far as Luther, when Luther came out, he was a bright and shining light in many areas.
Right, right.
First of all, he wasn't going to be pushed around.
Yeah.
He was a German. He was rough and gruff and tough. But when he saw the just shall live by faith, he realized that his works were not going to save him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe the man got saved. I really do.
On the toilet.
Yes, yeah, isn't that something? You can get saved anywhere. You don't have to be at a church altar. Anytime you yield your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on Him as Lord and Savior and repent of your sins, I mean, you get saved. I don't care where you're at. Yeah. But in any case, before Luther came on the scene, you had 15 Latin, Old Latin style German text extant. I don't have them with me, but I have a list of the 15 German Bibles that were Waldensian type Bibles, non-Latin Vulgate text and Bibles already in print before Luther sat down in 1522 and wrote the New Testament for the Heilige Schrift. Of course, in 1534, he finished it, and that's when it was called Die Heilige Schrift. Heilige is holy, the Holy Bible, Holy Scriptures. Schrift is Scriptures in German. And I've got two of them at home, and they have 1 John 5:7 in them, just like your King James Bible has.
Yeah, there was, four Waldensian Bibles on the table for the King James
translators. Yes, absolutely. And they referred to them and used them. Those Waldensians stuck to the Old Latin text through their Romont Bible. Not only that, Pierre Levitan, in 1535, when he came out with the Levitan Bible, also had the Old Latin.
Yeah, that's spelled O-L-I-V-T-A-N.
Yeah, like olive tan, but it's pronounced Levitan. And Pierre Levitan, during the time when the Waldensians were being persecuted, he came forth with the Levitan Bible. So, and it was from the same text. Now, Luther, when he sat down, he took Erasmus' second edition Greek text, which is 1519 and 1522, the third one. And in his original Luther Bible, 1 John 5:7, was not like it is in our Bible today. But when those texts were found, the German people made sure that the later, the Heilige Schrift editions had 1 John 5:7 in it, just like your King James Bible has it in English. Mm-hmm. They had it in German. And like I say, I have two of them. They took that back out in 1956. The liberals in Germany, and as you know, Germany has gone liberal for the most part, and I'm of German ancestry. Knupp is German. And so and that breaks my heart to know that in 1956, a year after I was born, many of the editions of the Heilige Schrift, they took 1 John 5:7 out and perverted it like they do in the modern English versions. And that's history. That's a matter of history. And most of the time, men learn from history that they never learn from history. And that's the problem. And so we have to repeat it. And see, history is being repeated. But instead of being like this, it's like this.
Yeah.
It's going down.
It's a spiraling down.
And Brother Kyle, we know that. Every dispensation has ended in apostasy.
Yep.
Every dispensation since Genesis has ended in apostasy. And there's no need for us to think that this dispensation is going to end in a great revival, because it's not.
Yeah.
Now, we do our best to preach the gospel and get people saved, but there's not going to be a worldwide revival of the King James Bible and of truth. It's going to be worldwide apostasy, and that's where we're at. And
revival can come locally.
Yes, absolutely.
But as far as the whole body of Christ goes, the next revival is the rapture.
Yes.
I believe.
There used to be a time when you had citywide revivals, even in the early part of our nation, and you could get the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Lutherans and the Baptists to have a citywide revival because they had one book.
Yep. They don't anymore.
Not anymore. No, not anymore. And we started going downhill in 1900 with the advent of the RV in 1881, and then, of course, the ASV in 1901, and we've been going downhill ever since. And the Laodicean yeah. church age, the rights of the people, civil rights, was ushered in, mm-hmm. and that's where we're at right now. And that's why some people watching this think Brother Kyle and I are crippled too high for crutches, because of the fact that we sound this absolutely opposite of what the world and religious world believes. Thank God we are. We're yeah. not religious, we're saved. But Martin Luther had his good points. Yeah. Martin Luther did a lot to yep. stand. His 95 theses that he nailed upon the door at yep. Wittenberg had much truth in it, but he also had an admixture of error from Rome.
Yeah.
But his, the Heilige Schrift, was taken from Desiderius Erasmus' second edition. So it was the same line. That's yeah. what we're trying to say. It's the yeah. same. It's the
text
same
line.
Text
all
line.
All the way back from Antioch.
See, it don't just go in this one line. There's two separate lines. There is yep. the corrupt line, which we covered on the preceding broadcast, yep. and there is the correct line. And folks, if you're not in that correct line, you're not a Bible believer.
Out of bounds.
I don't care what you yeah. believe. If you don't follow that line of manuscripts that go all the way back to the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, the originals, which no longer exist, by the way,
yeah.
then you are not using the correct line of manuscripts. Yeah. You've got a corrupt line, and I don't care what your pastor says, your teacher says, or anything else. Folks, the fact of the matter is the evidence points to that truth, and you're not going to deny it.
Yeah. So the world was under Catholic domination from approximately 500 to 1500.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Rounding
now,
it off, yes.
A German is somebody just the way they are, okay? I mean, they'll take something and they'll run with it. Hitler, he was going with what he believed in. You take the English professors that believe in evolution.
Yeah.
They'll teach it, but they won't practice it.
Right.
Okay? That's just the way it is. Hitler practiced it.
Yes.
Okay? What do you do with animals? You use their fur and you make lampshades and stuff. He did that with people.
Yes, he
okay?
did.
Okay? He used the Jews, like the hair from the women and stuff, and made insulation for submarines.
Yes.
Okay? And of course, you know, that's he was a German, and he was carrying evolution out. If man does not have a soul and he's just like an animal, then treat him like an animal.
Yes.
All right. And he'll act like an animal.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, especially today. But anyway, so Hitler, he took it and he took it to its end.
Yes.
Okay. And Martin Luther, once he got out of Catholicism and realized that the just shall live by faith, buddy, he ran with it. And when he was pushing through, the Lord used a man that was a German, okay, that, you know, Germans will die for what they believe in.
Yeah,
you know, just,
yeah.
You know, that's the way the Lord.
Yeah, just look at World War I and World War II. Yeah.
They died like crazy and were in the wrong, but because they were following their leader. A German's going to follow their leader.
Yeah.
Anyway, all that being said, that's what Martin Luther did. Okay, now his stuff about the Jews, yeah, he was wrong. So he said some really raunchy stuff about the Jews, just really bad, okay? But, you know, God used him to get our Bible to us.
Yeah, now, if you don't believe that, by the way, find the book, The Jews and Their Lies, which is a book written by Martin Luther, which is a book that Adolf Hitler read, and also Henry Ford.
And Henry Ford has,
you'll find out where a lot of what Hitler, what he believed, came from. And
yeah.
and folks, listen, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Goebbels, Heinrich Himmler, all of those men were baptized, confirmed Roman Catholics, in good standing with the church, and were never excommunicated from the church to the day
yeah.
they died.
And where did the Germans that flee to when they were running?
Yeah.
They went to Catholic countries.
Yes,
did they
did.
Not? Argentina or whatever.
Adolf Eichmann went to Argentina.
So, yeah.
Be sure your sin will find you out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah, for all of us. Wow. So, here's the thing. Martin Luther the Lord used a German to pull out from Rome.
Yes.
But Germany is landlocked, okay? And, you know, we've been talking about how God moves east to west. Germany's landlocked.
Yeah.
Germany, okay? But God used an Englishman by the name of William Tyndale, okay?
1526.
Went and visited Martin Luther and told Martin Luther, I want to do for the English people what you did for the German people.
Yeah.
Okay? And England is right on the coast.
Yes.
Okay? Has all the coastline. And God used William Tyndale, which we've got a little bit of time, I guess. God used a guy by the name of William Tyndale, who's known, if I'm not mistaken, the father of our English Bible.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah, basically. Because your King James Bible is 85 to 90% Tyndale's Bible in the New Testament.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Tyndale goes down there where Martin Luther was hiding out and, you know, gets his up. Anyway, we talked about worms a little bit. When I said worms, I wasn't talking about earthworms.
Yeah, they call it worms.
Worms?
Worms. The Germans pronounce it very. It's spelt worms, which always amused me, but it's pronounced worms.
Okay. Yeah. All right, worms. So he goes to worms and... It's in my nose probably, but I got it closed. What was the guy that he was going to debate with? I'm drawing a blank.
You're talking about Tyndale or,
no.
or Luther?
Luther went to Worms. They were challenging. He was going to debate a Catholic.
Yeah, I can't remember
his name. I can't remember his
name
anyway.
Right off the top of my head.
So anyway, he goes to debate this guy, and this is the zeal that Martin Luther had, okay? Just giving you an example here. His friend said, don't go, they're going to kill you. He said, well, if I must die for what I believe, then I'm just going to have to go and die for it. Okay? So he goes to Worms and debates with this guy, whose name is at the tip of my tongue. But anyway, just look it up for yourself. And they get stirred up, and they're going to kill him, and he gets rescued.
Yeah.
He gets out of town, and he goes to the castle there. And if I'm not mistaken, that's where he translated the Heilige Schrift in that castle.
Yeah.
The castle of...
I can't remember that either.
Yeah, we should have put up. But anyway, all that being said, that's an example of Martin Luther. So we transitioned into William Tyndale. We're at 27 minutes right now. You want to talk about Tyndale or you want to wait for another episode?
Well, William Tyndale could not translate there in England because they were after him. So he went to Germany and translated the New Testament and was in Second Chronicles, I believe it was, in the Old Testament when they called him. And he was betrayed.
Yeah.
And the important thing about Tyndale is when they killed him and they had him tied to the stake and was getting ready to burn him, they went behind him and... I think put a garrote around his neck or a rope around his neck and strangled him. But before they did that, he uttered that famous phrase, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. And after that, the Great Bible came to existence, and it was called the Chain Bible or the Whitchurch Bible. And it was put in churches, and for the first time, men could go into churches. It was chained to the pulpit so they couldn't be stolen. And I have photographs, not photographs, but drawings of that at home. And people could go in there and read the Bible. And that was under Henry, believe it or not. So that was a miracle that God began to answer that prayer. But that Tyndale Bible in 1526, then you had the Coverdale Bible of 1535, the Thomas Matthews Bible of 1537. Then you had the Great Bible of, I think, 1545. And then you had the Geneva Bible of 1560, the Bishop's Bible of 1568, and then the King James Bible of 1611. Those are your seven major translations. And... So when people see that, they don't realize what's going on there, but God is purifying that English language, making it purer and purer. And by 1600, the English language from 1600 to 1700 went through a period of purification where it was the purest language on the face of earth. And and so in the 15 rules that Richard Bancroft set forth for the King James translators.
Rules to be observed in the translation.
I think it's the 14th rule, if I'm not mistaken.
14th,
these six English translations are to be referred to give us the King James Bible, and those six are the ones I just mentioned. So that's the way God does things. His number is the number of completion. You have the name Jehovah in your King James Bible seven times. The word Jehovah is not found in the New King James Version. It's not found in the New International Version. It's not found in the English Standard Version. It's not found in the Holman Christian Standard Version. They insert the liberal word Yahweh, which is what the liberals used from 1840 to 1940 to identify our God with a tribal deity of the Arab tribal deity in the Old Testament. This is Jehovah in your King James Bible seven times. So if you got any of these other modern translations, you don't even know what your God's name is. His name's Jehovah. That's the Tetragrammaton, Jehovah. And folks, listen, let me tell you something. That's Joshua, that's Jesus. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is Jehovah God manifest in the flesh, according to the scripture, you're a heretic. Christ said, John 8:24, if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins.
Yeah.
That's
it. JWs don't like that verse.
You say, Brother Mitch, you and Brother Kyle, you are dogmatic. No, no, we're not. We're bulldogmatic when it comes to this book, and don't apologize for it.
Yeah. Amen. That's a blessing. Okay. We're through what? Tyndale?
Yeah.
And so we'll start out, I guess, next time with John Rogers and the Wife Beaters Bible.
Yeah, or Coverdale.
Miles Coverdale.
He finished the work that Tyndale started. When Tyndale was martyred, Miles Coverdale came along and gave us the first printed edition of the Bible from the Hebrew and the Greek for the first time in the English language. Miles Coverdale finished Tyndale's work. They were good friends, by the way.
Yeah, and Rogers was with him too.
Yes.
I think Rogers was in the same house when he got...
Yeah, John Rogers changed his name to Thomas Matthews, hoping that the Bloody
Bible.
Mary wouldn't find him.
Yeah, well, she did.
But she did.
He was the first one that she ended up getting. But anyway, we'll talk about that later and the six preceding English versions that led up. Now, there were more than just six. Now,
yes.
The people say, the King James Bible is the seventh English one. It wasn't. Lawrence Vance has a good pamphlet or whatever talks about that it's the 10th total. Because you got to remember the Douay Rheims came out.
Yeah, it did.
The Counter-Reformation Bible by the Catholics.
1582 and 1610.
Yeah, and we talked about that when we talked about the corrupt line.
Yeah.
It was actually the 10th total. But when you're referring to what preceded it, it was the 7th.
Yes.
Okay? And we know it was 7 years, 1604 to 1611. And English, seven words, and lines up with purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, preserve them from the generation forever. So anyway, we've probably said that.
And they followed Bancroft's rules. He said those six before, that's what they did. They followed those rules.
And so here's an interesting thing. We'll end on this. In the Hampton Court Conference, which we'll talk about, King James comes to the throne, okay? He's leaving Scotland, King James the Sixth of Scotland, King James the Sixth of Scotland, King James the First of England. He's coming down, he has this Puritan delegation meeting, okay? And buddy, they were strict. I mean, they were against all kinds of stuff, okay? And they're trying to get, I guess the closest example to today would be lobbyists in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're paid by these corporations to go and try to influence, you know, Nancy Pelosi and Trump and all the crowd up there.
Right.
Okay, so they go with this delegation to try to influence the king. He says, "We'll call a conference at the Hampton Hampton Court." Okay, so when they meet at this conference, they're talking about, you know, various things, you know, sundry things like what they said, wedding rings, you know, the Puritans said, you know, complain about that, you know, wedding rings, blah, blah, blah. And James is just, you know, kind of blowing both sides off, you know, and just kind of being himself there. And then finally, was it John Reynolds that said it?
I believe it was Reynolds, yes.
So John Reynolds, yep. He says something about the translation of the Bible. Now, you got to look, there's two sides here. You have the Puritans that are trying to get their way, and then you have the Archbishop of Canterbury. What was his name again?
Richard Bancroft.
You had Richard Bancroft representing the Church of England, okay? And he's there trying to go with what was known as Orthodox, then trying to push that on the king, okay? And so, remember, the king's just kind of blowing them off. I mean, say, I give a turd for your thoughts and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's, King James is an interesting fellow. We'll talk about him too later on, Lord willing. Lord don't come back before then. So, all that being said, Reynolds strikes an chord with the king, says, what about a translation of the Bible? Well, then, I forgot the guy's name again. What was his name again?
Richard Bancroft,
opposes
Bancroft, Archbishop
Canterbury. Well, we just got, you know, where's this thing going to stop? You know, we have the Bishop's Bible, okay, which was a precursor to the King James Bible. Mm-hmm. We got the Bishop's Bible, you know, it wasn't the Bible of the people. The Geneva Bible was the Bible of the people.
Yeah, right.
Okay, you know, anyway.
From Geneva, Switzerland.
Yeah, from Geneva, Switzerland. So, that's where it got started. Now, we know, Dale must not want me to remember this or something, I don't know. What was the guy's name again?
Bancroft. Richard Bancroft.
So Richard Bancroft is the one that kind of headed the whole translation part.
Yeah.
Okay? And he was opposed to it. And the translation of the King James Bible, I don't want to use the word ecumenical because that wouldn't be the right word, but it was a combination of Puritan and Church of England scholars, or whatever you want to put, and it was also opened up to all the learned men of the land to input on it, okay? And so they worked together, and God used Puritans and so-called Orthodox, you know, Church of England people to put this thing together, okay? Now, I know I ruffled the feathers of some people with what I said to start off by dispensationalism, okay? So I'm trying to bring it back from that and close together. We're on the same side. If you're saved, you know, I mean, there's got to be unity here too.
Yes.
But doctrine does divide, and I don't apologize for what I said earlier. Okay.
Yeah, Christ said I didn't. He said I come to bring a sword.
Yeah.
He said I come to bring division.
Yeah. So you know, don't. I'll divide over doctrine, but there's some things that, to me, are not worth breaking fellowship over.
No.
Okay? And the Lord is going to straighten me out at the judgment seat for what I did and didn't do.
Yeah.
Okay? But all that being said, we got through William Tyndale, and we're going to cut it off now. But it's good to be saved, and we just want to help everybody out with this Bible issue. But you got to understand, we live in the world, and we get other things that aren't exactly associated with the Bible that get up our craw, like Calvinism.
Yeah.
I was at a camp meeting recently and listened to a Calvinist preaching, and it made me mad. Anyway, it's spewing out a little bit. But anyway, all that being said, we want to help you believe God's book.
Yeah, remember, unity is important.
Yeah.
But it's not important at the expense of truth.
At the expense of truth, that's
right. Truth is always first, before unity.
Right.
And if truth divides, then so be it.
Yeah. That's it. That's good, Brother Mitch.
Thank you.
We're going to close it off on that one, and it's probably going to... we're working at having two podcasts a month. That's my goal.
Yeah.
If the Lord allows... We record two at a time up here, so we're looking to have one every 2 weeks. And drop us a line, info@1611ministries.org. Ask some questions. Once we get done, it's probably going to take one or two more, probably two more podcasts, and we'll be done with the Pure Line.
Yeah.
Then we're going to hop on specific topics that have to do with the King James Bible, okay? Lord willing, we'll have some guests then as well.
Yeah.
But we're going to be talking about, was King James a sodomite or was he not? We're going to be talking about that. With proof that it wasn't. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Was the King James Bible translated from late manuscripts? The stuff that James White and company, and James White is by no means the first, okay? He studied after Metzger and people. So, you know,
Westcott and Horton and Nestle Westcott before and Horton, that.
The stuff that these people try to attack the King James Bible over, the things that they say, those are going to be the topics of the ones coming forward. So if you have been asked something at work or by a family member about the King James Bible, and you don't know the answer, study it out, you know, find it. But if you want us to go over it, just send us an email.
Yeah.
Or a Facebook message, or you can call or text me, 704-425-7880. That's my personal cell phone. No prank calls, please. And and no telemarketers, please.
Yeah, and do remember, when you leave a message, he's got three small boys and a wife in the house. So don't use any profanity.
Well,
I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
There's probably some people might would do that. All right, we're done. You guys have a good day. We'll see you.
All right.